What does it mean to be an equestrian? It's more than just being a fan of horses. It's the riders, coaches, owners, barn staff, grooms, and other support staff. But it's also the people, family, and friends who make up the whole equestrian team. And this podcast is for all of you. I am so excited to be here with you as we explore life in and outside of the show ring. I'm Tracy Mitchell, and I'm here to help you hit your stride. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to part two of my conversation with Diana Dionisio. In today's episode, Dee Dee will be sharing with us her philosophies in coaching, not just the horses, but also her students. She will also be touching on the importance of mindset and how it has been a vital part of helping her get through some of her own personal challenges. And she'll also give us her opinion on maybe a thing or two that she would like to see change within the equine industry. Enjoy the episode. Okay, so now this is back to part two with Dee Dee. And Dee Dee, I think we left off where I was just about to give you some glowing references because I was just about to put on my Mitchell Equine massage hat and how we got to know the two of us here. So you and I met almost 7 years ago when a new client came to me and wanted me to come to your barn to massage the school horse that she was riding, which I thought was really sweet. I think it was probably a time or two after that that you had asked me to massage your two boys, Luke and Katu. And it was during this time of getting to know you, your clients and their horses, and where you and I would share the findings that I would come to you with after each massage for each of the horses, that I quickly developed a really great respect for you as a trainer. You would take my findings, you would implement them into your training, and 99.9% of the time, there were positive effects on the other side. The horses always improved. Their muscling got better. Their muscling was healthier. Their attitudes changed. So many of them became, you know, less anxious, very relaxed individuals. So what is your philosophy in training? And how do you adjust your methods? So, you know, with each approach to each horse.
I try to learn about the horses. Personalities, what they like, what they dislike, also about their bodies, what they're capable of. Some horses are a little bit more elastic, some horses are stiffer, some horses that are elastic are not willing to do the same work as the stiffer horses. So it actually just really depends on the horse. And I try to just get on in the first couple of times on a new horse. I just try to feel them out and see what they're comfortable with, what they like and what they dislike, before I ask them to do too much. That's normally how I start getting to know a horse. I really ride just completely just based off of what the horse likes. Like some horses, they like a stronger feel. Some horses like a softer feel. Some like a mix of the two or something in between. So I really just completely just change my ride based on what the horse likes. I try to figure out the way they go best and what makes them the happiest. And then I just try to do that for them.
Yes. So it's the way you choose to communicate with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't conform to the way I want to ride. I try to conform to how they want to be ridden.
So when you say you try to keep them happy, and I know in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, you know, some horses, it's hard to keep them happy, especially when you're trying to teach them something new. So what do you do with those horses that still try to put up maybe that, you know, resistance? Like, I mean, you obviously stick with them and try to encourage them.
Yeah. I just try different things to try to figure out the way that they're happiest and still performing their best. So sometimes it takes a lot of trial and error. And it's also changing, right? Like the way a horse wants to be ridden today might be different than next week or next month, like, because they're also changing and getting fitter and getting more used to you. So they might become more willing to be ridden a little bit differently. But in general, I try to teach my students to tell them how their horse likes to be ridden.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, I think that's, I mean, of all the years I've been massaging, you know, it's very rare that I come across a rider who doesn't make the horse fit their mold, you know? So this is the way that trainer always trains and the horse has to adjust, but that doesn't always lead to happy horses. So, you know, I love your approach. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Can you share with us a moment as a coach where one of your students just made you so proud and what that felt like?
Honestly, there's been so many of these moments. Sometimes they are in a lesson. Sometimes they're at a horse show. Sometimes when I'm teaching at home, like I'll literally be teaching a lesson and I'll get chills because the person just did it right. Like they just did exactly what I said and the horse did exactly what I hoped it would do in that moment. But a specific moment, obviously, like I've taught people to lots of wins before, but the one that somehow always sticks out in my brain is I was at a show at Palgrave, and one of my students, she's a very competitive kid, but somehow she was so nervous all the time. I think just because she wanted to win so bad, she was just so nervous, but she also got confused very easily and she had to go in and do a handy round and she only had one trip in between to learn her round. So I taught her the round and she was so confused, like, wait. So anyways, she learned the course and then I told her where she needs to turn and she said, do I have to turn there? And I said, well, the winner's going to turn there. This is the track that the winner's going to take. And she said, okay, I'll do it. So she goes in and she made the turn perfectly, but then she missed a more simple turn after that. But still, regardless, it was an absolutely beautiful trip. And she did the class. I think she was second in the class, but it just made me so proud just because she executed everything so beautifully. And I was just so happy for her.
Aww. And I definitely relate to the whole chills, you know, and if, you know, people listening to this on the podcast, you know, whether they're watching it on the YouTube channel or not, but if you're listening on the podcast, when you started talking about, you know, your students, your face just boom, lit right up and you get this big smile. And yeah, so you can tell that, you know, you are a really good teacher. You love interacting. And I know, was it last summer? I think my husband, Matt, and I went to a horse show. No, it was the two summers ago because last summer was crazy. And, you know, I wanted you and Matt to meet and we were going to catch up and stuff. But following you around at the horse show, it's like we needed to be on Red Bull or something. Because you were crazy busy. Like you were running from one race. Yes, you're all over the place. It was crazy, but really impressive to see, and your energy with all the students, and you were like, you were right there for each one of them. It was so awesome to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as a life coach, I find myself gravitating to the importance of mindset and self-empowerment. And the riders that I'm working with all have a common thread of issue, which is their confidence. So how do you set your mindset up before entering the ring?
I do a lot of visualization. Yeah, I would say if there's a big competition or a big class that I'm showing in the night before, I try to visualize everything going really, really well. The whole course, I might not know the course the night before, but I visualize myself doing something similar and executing it really, really well. Right before I go in the ring, when I walk my course or when I'm going over my course, I think about every single little detail, like, okay, here I stretch a little taller, lift my inside hand, put my inside leg on a little bit, soften my outside leg, then switch my aid, start to close my outside leg here at this point. Hold my shoulder tall here. Like I go over every little detail, not just the physical course. And I feel like when I go over all those details, and then when I get in the ring, it almost just happens because my brain already knows what it's going to need to do. So I'm more likely to remember all those small details and exactly how I'd want it to go, basically.
That probably takes you back to that mare in Germany. Definitely. She taught you more than you thought. So how do you help your students prepare mentally?
I try to encourage them to do the same thing. The most common thing I see when I'm taking kids or adults to a show is, all right, what's the course? Did you learn your course? Okay, yeah, they tell me the course. Then we walk it or we discuss it. And then before we go back in the ring, okay, tell me your plan. And they go, okay, I'm going to cross the diagonal here, pick up my canter. And they just tell me the physical course. And I said, tell me more than that. I want to know details. I say this to them. I say, you have to tell me more than just the course. Here, you put your inside leg on here. Okay, do this with your body here. And I make them give details. And with some of them, I've explained why. Eventually, I explain it to all of them. But I make them tell me every detail, not just the physical course. And then I feel like they're more prepared. And I feel like they also feel like they're more prepared that way.
Yeah, like to have the successes. And I'm finding that with the life coaching, to have successes, you can have a goal. So goal is to go into ring, jump clean, you know, come out with feeling good. That would be like me asking you, so what's a goal? To be happy. Okay, yeah. Well, guess what? You got to be more specific than that if you want to like really get anywhere in life or in your sport. So yeah. Okay, good. And have you had, like you mentioned the one with the young lady already with that experience, has there been a student that's like really not fought you on it, but like has been, didn't seem to adopt to the mindset that really kind of made you sad?
Yes, there have been. And
that is amazing. So like, let's say, you know, preparing for a big jumper class, like you said, you don't know the course, but you know your horse. So if you're imagining like a big oxer versus a vertical, like that's how you're sort of visualizing your body, your ride for each jump.
And just the flow of the course and just visualizing my horse doing it perfectly. Just putting good thoughts into my head, because I feel like your mind is just so powerful. So if you start thinking negatively, it's just a really slippery slope. So I just try to think super positive. This doesn't sound amazing, but I really have a hard time with the kids that or adults, but when I tell them they can do something and I know that they can do something, I have a hard time when they don't believe in themselves, because it's really just makes it so, so tough. If they don't believe in me and what I'm telling them, because I'm the one that's pushing them to do better. If they don't believe in themselves, plus they don't believe in me, it's like, okay, what are we doing here? So it's a little bit tough when that happens. Yeah. But there have been challenging clients who don't really give it a go. And those ones, I feel like they won't have success because they don't believe in themselves. They don't believe that I believe in them. And if you don't believe in either of those things, then what are we doing here?
Yep. And I know I've shared in, I think it was my third episode of this podcast, what my why is for doing this. And I shared some of my history of teaching. And that was part of my experience with my students when I taught the equine massage therapy program, is that they always came to me for the advice or the motivation, but I'm like, I believe in you, right? Like that was part of my message to them. And for some of them, they just didn't get it. And just like you, I would be like, oh, this is so, so disheartening, because if you only felt about you the way I feel and believe in you, then you and your horse would like jump the moon right now.
Exactly. It's really tough. It's really tough. The hardest thing for me too is just when I have a student that just doesn't try, like they want certain results, but they don't try. Like I'm telling you what you need to do to get there. So do it. All you got to do is just do it. But some of them, it's not cut out for everybody, right? If everyone would have the same work ethic and the same drive and the same mindset, then everybody would be successful. But that's why there's successful people and there's not successful people really at the end.
Exactly. So, I mean, it all comes down to fear, You know, we hadn't planned to talk about this, but this is awesome. it comes down to fear. And so do you find that a lot of them are afraid of trying something new or to go up those 3 inches in height of the jumps?
I feel like when there's those challenges, it's almost always because the rider's afraid. Yeah, fear really holds people back for sure. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Every time I've had these issues, it's because someone's afraid.
Well, I've, like I said, the clients that I'm working with in the life coaching business, Equestrian Elements Life Coaching, their common thread is confidence. And in working with my coach, because I have a coach, which is amazing, we've had this discussion about helping clients with fear, and he used this amazing metaphor. Okay, you ready for this? So imagine skydiving. And you've never been before and you're scared to death, which would be pretty obvious for most people. But what this guy said is, he said, at the point that you are the most afraid is when you're technically the safest, right? So that's when you're standing on the plane.
Yeah.
So you're the safest, but that's where you're the most afraid. And then he described the next stage. He said, the moment you jump off the plane, so in my mind's eye, I'm picturing a horse and rider. The moment you jump off the plane, there's chaos, but you're not afraid. You're in the moment.
Yeah.
And then once you get to the point where you've pulled the cord, there's zero fear, there's zero chaos, and there's bliss.
That's a really cool metaphor.
Yeah, it kind of made me go, huh. And I think of all the moments where maybe I've been afraid, and you're right. That's when your feet are actually like, your butt is in the saddle, you know, that kind of thing. It's before the horse takes that leap.
Yeah.
You can use that with your students and see if that makes them resonate something with them.
I can and I will. Right now we have a bunch of students that are just super brave and gung-ho. But I'm going to remember that for when we have one that's not so gung-ho and not so brave.
Yeah. Well, and I've seen on your Instagram posts for both Ann Audie and your personal page, you've got some youngsters just like bombing around doing their thing. They're adorable.
They are. They're so cute. We have a few really, really cute little kids. They're adorable. I love teaching them too. They're at that age, usually too, they're not so afraid. So they really follow the lead that I give them pretty well.
Aw, that's awesome. So to continue here a little bit, you have shared with me some of your personal history with injuries, and you touched on it in part one of this interview regarding your back and your knees. So you have had to overcome a bad back, and you are currently awaiting surgery to repair ligaments in both of your knees. How has this affected your day-to-day routine, as well as how has it affected your outlook for your future in the equine industry?
For my day-to-day routine, it's been pretty manageable now because I've kind of found the sweet spot of what I can manage. So if I can stay around 8 horses or less to ride in one day, that's, I can manage that without too much pain, especially in the winter. It's a lot more painful for me with the cold, but yeah, I've been able to manage that. I also take turmeric pills. So those help as well a little bit. I use back contract products on my knees. Those help as well. But at the end of the day, if I work too many horses in one day and it's especially cold, then it's really, really hard on my knees and I can't move them too well the next morning or even that night. What was the other part of the question? Like just,
That's your day-to-day routine. You know, once you have this surgery and you get yourself into rehab and, you know, yeah. How do you picture your future after these knee surgeries?
I hope I have no pain after the surgeries. They don't guarantee that though. The damage is a little bit already done with the arthritis that's built in there from how long ago the injuries are from, and not getting the surgery immediately. I'm hoping I won't have any pain or very, very minimal pain. But if I do, then I feel like I'll just continue the way I'm going with riding less than 8 horses in a day, hopefully, especially in the off season. In the summer season, I can handle a little bit more because the warm weather, it just doesn't, for some reason, my knees feel a lot better in the warmer weather. So I don't feel like it's going to affect me, at least not in the next like 10 years or so, but who knows how my body will feel after that.
Yeah, you might be a candidate for an early knee replacement or something.
Yeah.
Well, if you're like my aunt, I think I shared this with you. She had both. She was a rider and still is for a long, long time, like way back in the days of the juniors. And she had both her knees replaced at the same time. Like, she was a trooper.
My friend's dad just got that. And I asked for that with my surgeries because once they do one, you can't wait there for 5 weeks. So they're planning on doing one. And then 5 weeks later, once I can weight bear on it, then they're going to switch and do the other one. But I asked for at once to eliminate that extra 5 weeks of rehab, but they won't do it. It's very, very rare to get a doctor that will be willing to do that. I guess because then I'll be in a wheelchair and I'll be like completely bedridden. It'd be very, very tough, obviously. So I see why they wouldn't want to do that. And the rehab, probably when you can't weight bear on either knees, obviously that would be very, very tough. So
yeah, well, my aunt's doctor knew who they were dealing with, and they thought, oh boy, we better just get these done because she's just going to keep pushing. So I figure, you know, I would have thought the same way your doctor would have thought about you.
Yeah, I kind of wish I would do that, but it will make my life very, very hard. And because I live on my own, it would be tough for me to manage, especially I have a dog, Franklin, outside. can't walk.
What? Okay, so generally here, what is a goal that you really want to attain?
I would like to start bringing more horses over from Europe because I have made really good contacts when I was there. For the amount of time I was there, I met people from all over Europe. So I would like to start bringing more horses over and getting them going here and getting them sold in Canada. That's, I would say, my biggest goal right now.
So do you see yourself, I mean, like, do you want to get back into the ring and like reach like the tier levels? Or do you see yourself more as a trainer and bringing along these young horses and introducing them to Canadian riders?
I see myself as bringing along the horses. I would love to show in those big classes. I would absolutely love that. But at the age that I'm at already, I'm 30, and balancing life and horses to do those huge classes and be a rider in those huge classes, your life is on the go all the time. You're in Florida every winter, which, don't get me wrong, I'd love to be in Florida, but what I'm saying is that you're always living at the horse shows. You're really, your whole life is horses. And I love the industry, but I like to have a little bit of a balance between the two. And it's not really possible if you're going to be a rider in those top classes. Your whole life is in horses. And for me, I just like to still be able to see my family and my close friends on the side that are outside of horses. And I think it's an amazing industry to be in, and it's so rewarding, and I'm so lucky to do it, but I still enjoy my life outside of horses. And I feel like if I got 50 or 60 years old and felt like I never made time to spend with my family or friends, I would be a little bit sad. So I like to have a little bit of balance between the two and to bring horses through Europe into Canada and still be showing them and bring them through the levels here, but maybe just not always at the Grand Prix level. I would be happy to do that.
Nice. And I think the Canadian horse industry would be better off for it too. Yeah, I think that would be awesome. Good for you. Okay, so what is one thing that you would really like to see change in the equine industry?
It's a funny question because you can go in any direction with it. But honestly, the very first thing that sticks out to me is that the people are so cold. Not everybody, sorry, I shouldn't say that. Not everybody, but just the when you go to the horse shows, it just, I wish people were a little bit friendlier. I wish people were a little bit more kind and supportive of each other, because although we're all, you know, you go to the horse show and we're on different teams and we're all coming from different stables, you spend so much time together. It's honestly like, it's like you're being at the horse show is like your office space in the summer. You spend more than half of your month there. You see these people almost every day for sometimes 3 weeks straight. And I just feel like if people just were a little bit warmer with each other, it would make for a more overall enjoyable and pleasant time at the horse shows. And don't get me wrong, I have so much fun at the horse shows, and there's a lot of warm people at the horse, but I just wish people were a little bit more kind and a little bit more supportive of each other. We can all be successful and still be kind.
Yep, I completely agree. I think, like you said, you know, or kind of along with what you said, you know, your competitors in the ring, but when you're outside of the ring, there should, I truly believe that there, I would like to see more support too amongst each other. I mean, everybody will benefit. Okay.
Exactly.
Yes, maybe we can work on that. All right. So last question, and it kind of lends to what you just shared about the question about what your goal would like to be, but how do you dedicate so much of yourself and your time to everything horsey and then put it aside at the end of the day and pick up your life outside of the ring?
Yeah, this question is funny because a lot of people that are in horses say, oh, you have no life outside of horses. If you do horses, they have to be your life, which don't get me wrong, it's true. You have to be ready to go for that call like at any time of the day. If you get the call, if a horse is sick, you have to be there for it, of course. But I think life is also about the relationships you have with people. And for me, I have a lot of good friendships outside of the horse world, from volleyball, from high school, from just my travels, from work in Europe. So it almost is easy for me when I get home at the end of the day to switch off, because my friends and my family make it easy for me just because I have those connections outside of the horse world. And I like to hone those relationships. So for me, I make time to see those people, and I somehow balance it all out that way. I have interests. So it's, like horses, don't get me wrong, they are my life, but I have interests outside of them.
And we cannot go this podcast without talking about that extra special little thing in your heart that's name is Franklin.
Yeah. He's so sweet.
And again, for people,
he's so
to the podcast, again, Dee Dee's face just lit right up. The cutest little dog. He's a Westie. No, what is he? What's his breed?
He's a Wheaton.
Wheaton
Terrier.
Yes, he is so funny.
Yes, he is. He's hilarious. His back after his lawnmower haircut that I gave him.
Yeah, Dee Dee gave her kid a haircut, and it turned out the way all haircuts do for kids. All right. So thank you so much for doing this interview with me. This has been so much fun. You've been so authentically sharing your experiences and stuff that you've learned. Was there anything you wanted to add?
I think we got a lot covered. No, I think I'm happy with what we covered. I feel like if people have learned, hopefully we'll have learned a lot from this. Awesome. About me and horses.
Yeah.
Maybe everybody that listens, maybe they can take something away from this at some capacity, whether it's about the training or just about mentality, mindset, anything.
Awesome.
I'd be happy listening to even just one little thing away.
Perfect. Well, I think there's lots of little things in here that they can take with them. So again, very grateful you could join us. And if people wanted to reach out to you, I will put this on the information attached to both part one and part two of this interview. Where can people reach you?
They can send me an email. To my name, Deanna, D-I-A-N-A, Laura, L-A-U-R-A, my last name, Jeannie Steele.
Yeah. I'll put it up in the information for them. And you and both Anne are on Instagram as well, right?
Yeah. We don't run the Anne Audie page, but no. So Anne's not on Instagram, but I'm on Instagram. My name on Instagram is Deandra Dionisio.
Okay. All right. So like I said, I'll put that information up. Thank you so much, Dee Dee. And so you have a great weekend, and to all the listeners, look forward to these part one and two. I hope you guys are having a great day. And thanks again, Dee Dee.
Thank you.
So there you have it. For future episodes, I have some amazing interviews lined up, hoping to open and engage the horse world on issues and topics of interest in and out of the show ring. So, until next time, keep your eyes forward and continue to hit your stride. You can subscribe to the podcast for new episodes of Hitting Your Stride on my website or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. You can check me out on Facebook and Instagram, and feel free to share whatever you've heard here with your friends. For that, I would be very grateful.